of Houston Sports Radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Mets and Astros today at 1:10.
Is there any get back because of Jose Siri? Anybody get buzzed or hit today because of Jose Siri? If you missed it, just Google Jose Siri home run and you'll see it. He launched one now. It was a shot. It was over the tracks. It was near the pumpkins. And he blasted it. It was a good shot.
He got a talking to, though. He got a talking to. Dusty, it was kind of embarrassing for
the organization. He got a talking to by players Dusty. In the dugout. Siri told Mark Berman the players in the dugout talked to him. And Dusty talked to him. Here's the thing. If it's a walk-off, that seems to be a different vibe. If you're hitting, you know, if you're a star player, like Barry Bonds was able to get away with a lot of stuff in an era where you got plunked and very rarely got thrown at. Very rarely. And he would sit and watch home runs. That's because he was Barry Bonds. It's like there's a – and that was in an era where you got hit. It's a little different vibe. A guy like Jose Siri – who doesn't really have a lot of skins in a game and is not a respected member of the MLB community. Yeah, it's kind of one of those things where he sat for a long time at home plate. And did you see the discussion at home plate between who was that? It was
Lindor?
Is Escobar and at home plate, Escobar and Escobar and Machete had a conversation. It lasted about 10 seconds, where it was obvious they were talking. It was after a series home run that was the conversation that was going on.
Yeah,
it was veteran both talking, saying Eduardo Escobar at home plate after he took offense to Jose Siri admiring his home run. They were having a long conversation at home plate.
And well, he should. Does anybody catch it today? No, I don't think so. I think, you know what, at batting practice, the two teams see each other and they're able to talk some, and they go, the kid messed up, you know. And you're a 170 hitter. You're not Barry Bonds. Right. And it's an 8-1 game. And you don't, and by the way, we don't need you getting Alvarez hit. Or Bregman or Altuve hit. We don't need that stuff. And by the way, you embarrassed us. You embarrassed the organization. So while I love his, just the way he goes about it and everything, and he wants to have fun, and, oh, you guys are, don't stand on my lawn. No. That was a little bit embarrassing, especially in an 8-1 game. You just don't do what he did.
Well, and that's the thing is actually, the rules have been loosened a lot in Major League Baseball. There's a lot of people who keep trying to have the straw man argument about how baseball's still governed by these unwritten rules. Not really. It's really not. Baseball does have some unwritten rules, but so does basketball. You're not supposed to, if you dunk on someone or if someone falls down, you're not supposed to step over them. That's a sign of disrespect that can turn into a fight anywhere. In a pickup game, in a stadium where you're playing. Am I wrong, RJ? That's one of those things where you're not supposed to step over guys and in a pickup game. That's one of those things that can cause a little – that's an unwritten rule.
Yes. Oh, that could definitely cause a fight if you step over somebody.
Oh, no.
It's run the other way. Just run the other way. Let the crowd do the oohing and aahing. Don't get caught up in it, but people do.
And especially if you're a guy in the NBA that's got Siri status. You know, you're a 4 minute a night guy.
Thank you. There are unwritten rules. This is what I kind of don't like about what people say is they don't realize there's unwritten rules in basketball and football too. There are certain unwritten rules where offensive linemen, defensive linemen know the unwritten
rules. Don't take out my knees.
Yeah, about how you block and the way you're supposed to block them or not followed, it gets physical. Like it turns into an issue if you don't follow the unwritten rules. So there are unwritten rules there. Now, what's different is baseball has had them in the past about it all. It's always talked about with certain celebrations, but really there's other unwritten rules that I think are stupid. Like the ones that like you can't steal. They don't really tell you what the score is when you can or can't steal. And yet we've seen too many teams come back.
From, you know. Like you
that,
know.
Yeah, you know, but that's just what I'm saying. You know.
Hell, what's when Altuve tried to bunt last night, I was like, okay, what's the situation here? I was like, oh, it's okay. Yeah, it's okay. I think it was a 3-0 game at the time. Altuve tried to bunt.
Isn't that so stupid?
And I was
stupid.
Like, you got to watch.
Isn't that so stupid, though? But you can't but bunt. You're trying to get on base. What's the difference between – but see, that's what pisses
– But in an 8 – to now, listen, me. It was 3-0 at the time. If it was 8-0 at the time or 8-1 at the time, yeah, then maybe, it would have been, no.
I probably feel – Yeah, you're right. It probably would have hit me different, but it didn't hit me at that way at all because of what score was. I didn't even
know. No, but when I
way.
See somebody trying to bunt to get on, I'm like, okay, wait, let me see. What's going on? Okay. Yeah, no, that was fine. That's fine. Garcia and Carrasco today. Carrasco, listen, it's funny. They put up the stats yesterday. Garcia's numbers are better than Carrasco's, truth be told, and he's 4-5. And Carrasco, I think, is 8-2, whatever he is. And Garcia, his numbers are actually better than Carrasco's numbers. So I feel pretty good. Carrasco's a good pitcher. I feel pretty good about the team right now. 5-6. And again, you know, it was the Rangers and it was the White Sox. And the White Sox are pretty good baseball team, better than they've shown.
Yeah.
But I felt pretty good about the way this 9-game stretch started last night.
Yeah. How could you not? I mean, you had guys bombing away. Siri got one. Altuve got one. Yordan got one.
Tucker with a big hit.
Tucker with a
your Urquidy looked great.
Yordan running through a stop sign by Pettis. Did you notice that?
No, I didn't notice it.
He stop signed him, and Yordan's like, forget it. Forget it, old man. I'm rolling through. And I couldn't tell on the replay if Yordan had caught a glimpse of the throw missing the cutoff man, if that's why he went, or if he just rolled through Pettis' stop sign. I mean, first of all, Pettis was not given a good stop sign because – They did miss the cutoff man from the outfield, so Pettis really should have waved him. But Yordan ran through Pettis' stop sign and scored easily. It wasn't even a throw at home, which could have made for an interesting conversation.
Well, maybe he saw it, which is
and
good.
It may have made. Dusty probably had a talk with him.
All right, when we come back, Adam Schefter joins us right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So let's get to it. First, get us some seats, Lance.
Simple Seats. Go to simpleseats.com, use promo code Lance10, and they are going to take $10 off your first order of 50 or more. Now, what am I talking about with Simple Seats when I talk about your first order? I'll give you an example. Right now, you go to simpleseats.com, view all upcoming games. How about this? Astros and Mets today, 1:10 afternoon game. Right now, you can get in the building for $15. When I say $15, guess what? Actually, the number is now $18. So it's $18. That's not going to include any fees because there are no fees. When I say $18, no, I take it back. Right now, there's actually zone listing for $15. So if you use zone seating, they'll pick the seats for you. You pay the price, and it's going to be $15. You can pick your exact upper deck right now is at 18. You can find that. For as low as 18, you can find find outfield seats right now for $19. No, that's not outfield, but you can find section 153 for $36 right now. Now, as the game gets closer, there's dynamic pricing. It may go up or down, but you can save way more money because there's never any fees at Simple Seats. Never. Best prices, lowest rates. Best seats and no fees ever at Simple Seats. Go to simpleseats.com. Use promo code Lance10 for $10 off your first order of $50 or more.
You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5. For those. You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. John and Lance being joined right now by NFL insider, ESPN's Adam Schefter. He's more than that. He's the best in the business at getting inside information in the NFL, and we are thrilled to have him here with us on the show. Adam, welcome to the show. We appreciate you being here.
Good morning, Lance and John. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great. So, Adam, how does Deshaun look after yesterday? From the beginning, he said, I don't want non-disclosure agreements. I want everything to come out. I want it to go to court. I will not settle. And then yesterday, 20 of the 24 settled. How does this make Deshaun look?
Well, again, you just have to wonder if this would have been something that would have been wiser to do at the beginning. But I don't know that he ever thought that it would grow the way it did, get to where it did. And so I think in the end, ultimately, you know, when people settle, sometimes they did wrong, sometimes they didn't do wrong. Sometimes they recognize it's a smarter business decision to cut your losses here and stop the legal fees and stop all the attention. Like, you know, we just because he settled doesn't mean that he... It's just a tough thing, right? Like, I don't know if you can draw any conclusions other than, to me, when you look at this, don't you think it would have been better if this had all been resolved a year ago rather than having it be prolonged and to drag on the way it did, which obviously was not helpful for him.
No, not for anybody, and all the information that came out. How about, are you hearing any scuttlebutt? Because you hear the most scuttlebutt about anything, about the Texans' complicity in this, what with the nondisclosure agreement and them with the Houstonian Hotel, them getting a room. Is there any liability for the Texans here?
Listen, you know, the league is looking into this, and so I would imagine if there is something there, we'll hear from the league. But there's a criminal element that seems to have been resolved when the grand jury declined to indict him. There's the civil component that's still going on with four different women right now. And now, of course, you've got the NFL conducting its own investigation with Lisa Friel leading the way. She served in the Manhattan District Attorney's Office for over 30 years, specializing in areas just like this one. So if she finds that there's fault with the Texans, believe me, I think we'll hear about that. It's been brought to the attention of the league. I don't know what will come of that. I don't know whether the Texans will be held liable by the NFL. Not a great look. You know, it's hard to imagine that all this stuff goes on and nobody in the organization or anything about it? Nobody?
Yeah, that's hard to believe, Adam. Somebody clearly knew about it, according to the New York Times piece, the director of security.
But by the way, if that was true that these NDAs were signed, right? Like, someone knew something.
Yeah. Oh, there's no question. According to Jenny Vrentis' piece, the Texans, she named the person who apparently gave the NDAs. And it's hard to believe that when you have a situation like that, that the security department would not go to a general manager and the head coach, who would be Bill O'Brien, both of them. I mean, he was the guy reigning over the team. So it will be interesting if that, you know, what comes of that. Would have been even more interesting if this stuff would have gone to court, because some of that may have ended up coming out. You know, I got to go back to January talking to a member of the Miami Dolphins who told us all about how that deal almost went down with the Dolphins and how there was going to be, at that time, 18 of 22 cases settled and that didn't get settled at that time, and that trade broke down. Adam, what exactly did Deshaun Watson and his side think was going to happen? Did they just misread this? And how bad it was going to be for him as more information came out?
You know, I think if you listen to him at his press conferences, right, he continues to insist that in his eyes, he doesn't believe that he has done wrong here. I mean, you heard him talking Cleveland twice, right? Like that was his big thing. And so if that was how he felt and we extrapolate that out, then obviously that's consistent with why he declined to settle, because that's what he believed. And so, again, the situation went on for a long time. The cases grew. The women grew. The perception, the ugliness grew. I mean, again, I think Deshaun probably would do a lot of things different here if he could do it over.
I would think so. So give us your take and what you're hearing about from a league punishment standpoint, because the league is making it clear that these settlements have no impact or bearing on what their punishment phase is going to look like. What are they taking into account in terms of precedence, or is this going to be a precedent-setting case?
Well, first and foremost, you have to understand that this will be the first case under the new collective bargaining agreement like this. So even though we saw, I think it was six games for Ben Roethlisberger and six games for Zeke Elliott, and this right now, the way it's adjudicated and the way it's ruled on is different than the way other cases were ruled on. So first and foremost, I don't know that you can draw precedent there. The other thing is, you know, I think awareness and sensitivity to all these types of incidents has really grown, thankfully. And so the league, which is very image and perception conscious, that certainly is something that they're going to be very thorough on. Would that have been the case 10 years ago, 2012? I don't know about that, right? So I think the league has come away, and that'll be obviously confirmed or validated by how it goes about this and the decision it makes on Deshaun Watson. Now, my understanding is the league does want a lengthy suspension for Deshaun Watson. Lengthy. And the NFLPA, its job is to fight that and defend it. And so Lisa Friel, who's led this investigation, who spoke to many of the women who have accused Deshaun Watson here, she will make a recommendation as to what she believes the discipline should be. And the NFLPA also will have its own thoughts. And then the disciplinary officer, Sue Robinson, will then make the judgment. And if that's satisfactory to both sides, okay, then that's what it'll be. And if it's not, there, then they could appeal that to Roger Goodell or the appeals officer that he appoints at that point in time. So it's a little bit of a different process under the collective bargaining agreement. I don't know that you can lean on what's happened before with other cases and try to apply it here because the circumstances are different and the case is different. The case is different. So I think it's a mistake to try to apply any previous incident in trying to figure out what would go here. I think like this, you know, just out loud. If it was a wider suspension, don't you think the league would be roundly criticized? Roundly.
Yes.
I think yes. So the league is going to do whatever it can to protect itself, which is why I think we're going to see a lengthier suspension, whatever that is.
Adam Schefter with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Adam, how embarrassing is this? Is there any buyer remorse for the Browns? They put out a tweet yesterday that sent us a picture, and we'll have it for fan day, and most of it was Deshaun Watson getting massages, and it was just really, really ugly. Is there any behind the scenes, have you heard anything from the Browns that there is some buyer's remorse here?
Yeah, I don't know if it's buyer's remorse. I'm sure there's a wide range of emotions, and I'm sure there's a lot of people in that organization that have a lot of different feelings. I could tell you that other teams around the league, you know, look at the Browns. I go back to the owners' meetings. There were some upset teams with the contract that the Browns had handed out to Deshaun Watson. You know, he got a precedent-setting deal, a record deal, a landmark contract. And he got a landmark contract at a time where he is embroiled in an investigation that we still have not found out the results from. And so that upset and bothered a lot of teams. You know, Cleveland can answer for itself. We've heard from some of the Browns fan base, some of them obviously not particularly enthralled with this, some of them deeply disturbed, and you can understand why. Look, here's the bottom line. They were a desperate team, a desperate team. And this is a team that has tried to find a way to win over and over and over and over again, unsuccessfully. And so they thought, as a franchise, that they identified somebody that could help this franchise on the football field get to where it wanted to go. And it was willing to go as far as it did in terms of the contract it gave Watson and the compensation it gave Houston to get the quarterback that the Browns felt would make a difference no matter what was going on with him.
Adam Schefter with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Let's switch it up for a second. Lamar Jackson, what do you see with that situation, Adam?
You know, to me, Lamar Jackson has to do a deal. He just has to. Now, it's worked out well for him in waiting, and we've seen deals get done over the last year for Josh Allen and Matthew Stafford and some of these deals and numbers. Kirk Cousins have grown incredibly. So, honestly, he made a wise business decision in waiting, but he also went through the year and didn't suffer any catastrophic injuries, so good for him. But at some point, to me, you cash out. And to me, this would be the time for Lamar Jackson to cash out. And what are we talking about? Like cashing out what? So he's still going to get a huge deal, you know, north of $40 million a year, with huge guarantees, with huge, like, why would you not do that with the way you play? To me, you know, it would be negligent not to do that deal before this season starts. But he's acting as his own business manager. We'll see what he decides to do. He rolled the dice. It's worked so far. And the decision's up to him because we know that Baltimore's wanted to get him signed. So we'll see what he does.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting because it's we know what the rate is, but at this point, from what we've heard from the Ravens, they can't even get Deshaun and his side to even discuss an agreement.
Well, you know, the numbers are at a point now, though. Like, to me, you have to act. Yeah, you just have to act right now.
Right. Adam, listen, we appreciate you taking time. We know you're busy, really, really busy, and we really do thank you for joining us today and shedding some light on this. And look forward to following your work as we continue on toward the season.
Listen, John, thanks for having me. Hope everybody's well. Enjoy your summers.
All right. Thanks, Adam.
Adam Schefter right here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Good stuff. He's the best. The best in the business. There's no question. All right. Let's talk a little siding and windows.
Allstate Windows and Siding. That's who we're talking about. If you need windows, here's the thing. If you in your house right now, we're at 100 like every day now. That's our new reality. So if we're at 100, 101, whatever, and you notice it's always humid in your house, that's a surefire sign that you got some leakage somewhere. Should not be humid unless you've got some leakage. And if you've got some leakage, that's going to be a problem. And so it's usually going to come from those windows. That's why anyone that you talk to in the housing business, really any of them, builders, contractors, they'll tell you that windows are your number one culprit when it comes to causing inefficient, you know, having inefficient air conditioning and energy bills. When you have new windows installed and retrofitted to your current window frames from Allstate Windows and Siding, you get Texas Tough Windows that are made right here in Texas. They're made for the Texas weather that we have to suffer through at times. They are going to eliminate that leakage that becomes a problem, and they could really improve your energy efficiency by up to 40%, and that's been proven through testing. 40% improvement on your energy efficiency with new windows. New windows are going to beautify. They're going to add safety, make it safer for your home. It can also help protect against, you know, the oncoming hurricane season weather that we're going to have because it's built to withstand that type of wind as well. So make sure that you see my friends over at AllstateWindowsAndSiding.com. That's AllstateWindowsAndSiding.com. Head there for your evaluation of all the services they offer. Get the phone number, give them a call, and get ready for your new windows from AllstateWindowsAndSiding.com.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5. Godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. As I understand it, Paul Miller is in the house, Lance, and
that's
y'all
right.
Are...
My favorite former defensive lineman from Purdue who now owns a restaurant, Paul Miller. Multiple restaurants. About to be 10, actually.
He's more your favorite than Greg Bingham?
Greg was not a defensive lineman. I said,
well,
yes,
lineman, linebacker. Yeah, I think he played some line at Purdue.
He is my favorite. I spend more time with Paul Miller than Greg Bingham. Greg Bingham always made me nervous when we played poker together at your house.
He's a big dude.
He had the biggest hands I've ever, like, he had ever. The biggest, thickest hands.
If he ever punched you.
They were paws.
If he ever punched you, would be dead.
Oh, yeah. They looked like bear paws. He had this huge head, huge hands.
Yeah.
He just made you a little nervous being around him because you knew Greg Bingham had seen things and done things on the football field.
Yeah, and he could hurt you.
Yeah, if he wanted to, absolutely. Probably still to this day.
Yeah, to this day. No, to this day. No, I see. I saw Greg not long. I don't want to say not long ago. Maybe a year ago or so. And he'd still kill you. He would still kill you.
You know, my dad said that to Snacks. Was weird at my parents' house a couple weekends ago. Snacks is now 13 years old. He's about to be 14 this summer. He said, my dad's just sitting there. My dad's like 70, what was 76, I think. He goes, hey, Sebastian, in 10 years, when you're 23, 24 years old, and I'm 86, you think you could take me? He goes, yeah, for sure. He goes, no, you can't, and I hope you try it. My dad was already threatening Sebastian 10 years from now. Like, I want you to test me.
I'm going to go with your dad in that
one. He said that 10 years from now. Wait, hang on. Here comes Paul right now. Hit that blue. Sit down right there. Hit that blue button. We were talking about you versus Greg Bingham, just so you know. I said you're my favorite over Greg Bingham, Paul. Just so you know. Greg Bingham was former linebacker for Purdue. Played for the Houston Oilers in the 70s.
He played some D-line, too, for Purdue.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I didn't know that. I thought Bingham was just a... But Paul's in there right now. Our food's getting... Paul's actually out there making eggs. How about
Absolutely.
That, John?
Every morning I make eggs.
Yeah. Thanks, Paul.
Hey.
You know, yeah,
pleasure.
You decide to bring it when I'm out of town. Congratulations.
I love it. Remember 2 times ago I missed it. I was out of town. And you gloated and you were happy that I missed it. This time you're out of town. He's coming back tomorrow.
Well, on Monday.
I apologize.
I didn't bring the cocktails today. I apologize about that.
Well, then I'm not missing much. That's all right.
What do you have new? What new is going on with you guys, Paul?
Oh, man. A ton of stuff that's new. We've got Passarella. Our Italian concept is now open.
It's official.
Yes. Yeah. We got opened about 2.5 weeks ago. And, man, business has just been great. It's really what the community wanted. It's right on the water. Beautiful patio. You know, if it wasn't 1,000 degrees outside, then, you know, we could actually fill the patio.
Eventually, but... it won't be. Yeah.
Yeah.
Eventually, it won't be. Where is it located?
It's up in Cypress at Town Lake, which is kind of right at the intersection of Barker, Cypress, and Tuckerton.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, it's a beautiful area out there, big lake, boats coming by all the time. Like I said, we've got 2 restaurants right on the water. One's the Union Kitchen, and one is Passarella. And it's great. I love that community.
You're up to 10 restaurants now?
Yes, sir.
You are quite the restaurateur here. Are you going to own a pro sports team within the next 10 years? I know someone else who started with Landry's and took off.
I don't think we're growing at quite that clip right now, but we're definitely holding our own, man.
Kind of curious, how are the restaurant businesses done for you in the midst of, you know, post-COVID, a lot of people really came back strong.
Yeah.
A lot stronger, even stronger in some instances. How have you guys done through that and then through what we're dealing with right now? Like, is it okay in the restaurant business in general?
No, it's okay. It's definitely not.
For the restaurant business too.
So I had, before COVID started, I had 7 restaurants. We opened 2 during COVID, and then we just opened 1 a couple weeks ago. So that got us up to 10. Before COVID, I had 515 employees. And that's with 7 restaurants. So now with 10 restaurants, I have about 350 employees.
Whoa.
Yeah. So, everybody's short. I'm probably short 1 or 2 guys in the kitchen at every restaurant. I'm short, you know, 5 servers. I'm short a busboy. I'm short hostess. But that's the same story that everybody's telling across town, man. I mean, everybody.
I've heard that from every restaurant.
Yeah, everybody could use more, more staff and better staff, right? That's what we're trying to do is educate right now and get the level of our service and knowledge in the restaurants up a little bit. And then, beyond that, you've got inflation. You've got, you know, what very well could be a recession coming up here soon. Mm-hmm. The cost of goods has gone up substantially. I mean, my wife went out and bought a couple of steaks and some crab claws for Father's Day.
Yeah.
And she got one Wagyu that was like 40-something bucks a pound.
Yeah.
She got just a regular New York strip, and I think she told me that was like 25, 26 bucks a pound. And then the snow crab legs were expensive. So, I mean, it's everything. It's everything across the board, man.
Yeah.
You know, electricity.
Yeah, I mean, everything.
Labor. You name it.
Across the board has gone up. Wow. That's a boy. So the labor shortage as well. Well, that's we're going to have breakfast nachos today, John. Just so you know, breakfast nachos are something we're messing
breakfast
around with right
nachos.
Now. Oh, there's a plate right there. Yeah. Oh, John, I wish you could have this, but you can't.
Breakfast nachos. Well, it's got eggs and sausage
eggs,
and bacon.
Chorizo. We've got roasted corn. We've got tomatoes. We've got some
goodness
like
gracious.
The red pepper, the The Fresno chili Fresno peppers. Chili. Yeah.
A little cilantro on
cilantro.
Top.
Cilantro. We got a Southwest sauce on there, Chipotle sauce as well. I'm looking forward to this. Man, it's
disgusted
a shame
with both of you.
That is a true shame. Well, oh, well. That's well, Paul, disgusting. So we got. So now, if you guys are interested, there's six locations for Union Kitchen. You got three for Jack's Grill, and now you got Passarella's as well,
oh,
which is out in Cypress.
Yeah, by the way, Paul, I was at your Union Kitchen on Washington just last week, as a matter of fact.
Had lunch. Thank you for coming by.
That. We had lunch over there. Oh, my gosh, that sandwich, the not brisket.
The lobster grilled cheese?
No, not the lobster grilled cheese, the one with the meat.
Carnitas grilled cheese.
No, rib bone.
Short rib sandwich.
Short rib grilled cheese. What? Holy cow. It was so good. Unbelievable.
Between that and the lobster grilled cheese at lunch, those are our two best sellers, man. They're flying out.
That is awesome. I'm going to do the lobster next time. Do the lobster next
grilled
time.
Grilled cheese. What? There's so many things you can throw in a grilled cheese. Yes. Lobster, your carnitas grilled cheese. Yeah, that sounds good. Oh, short rib grilled cheese. Yep. Bacon grilled cheese. Yep.
Yep.
Lobster grilled cheese. Yep. Pretty much all of them sound good to me. You can't go wrong with a grilled cheese. All right, 10 different restaurants for you guys to check out. That's Paul Miller, Union Kitchen, Jack's Grill. Jack's Grill, Katie, by the way, live music every Friday and Saturday at Jack's Katie. So if you're listening from the Katie area, you've got new menu items like from Chef George. You've got 7 spice grilled cheese, somewhere between Nashville and Buffalo, spicy chicken sandwich, chimichurri fish tacos, 3 Amigos appetizers with guacamole, white queso, warm salsa. So make sure you check those things out. And we'll be telling you in different commercials about some of the things Union Kitchen has going on as well, because it's the month that they're starting off in August. They're going to help Casa de Esperanza. So we'll tell you about how you can enjoy great food and drinks and do it for a really good cause as well. Paul, thanks for coming in. Thanks for feeding us today, as always. And
my pleasure, man.
Enjoy your day.
Love to be here. Thank you very much for all you're doing.
Yep.
I got this too. When I was there, I can't tell you how many Coors Lights we threw down. I was with Billy and Todd and his buddy Hugh and the waiter, we kept come on, keep bringing them, and we had a great time over at the Union Kitchen. And it was in large part, well, the short rib grilled cheese helped, but the Coors Light was what made my day, okay? It'll make your day. It'll keep you chill. It'll keep Texas chill. It'll keep you chill no matter where you are. We're supposed to get up to 105 now this weekend. Are you kidding me? So how are you going to stay chill? There's one way to stay chill. It's cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer. It is going to keep you chill. It will keep you refreshed. It'll keep you – what's the world's most refreshing beer? So if you're looking for the best way to keep Texas chill, I don't care what you're doing. I'm going to be playing poker today. You know what I'm going to do? Texas chill right here in Las Vegas. I'm in Nevada, but I'll still be Texas chill with my cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by.
Nobody protects.
Isn't it weird?
This is so weird.
Time now for News of the Weird on the Bench.
Boy, what the hell's wrong with you?
Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Hi, News of the Weird is brought to you by Simple Seats. Better prices, no fees. It's that simple. Lance, did you have any idea that microscopic mites were having sex on your face at night?
I do now.
Well, but apparently they are endangered. Apparently microscopic mites that have sex on your face at night could face evolutionary oblivion, say scientists.
Let's hope.
Yeah. It's on its way from being a parasite to a symbiont, an organism entirely dependent on another for its survival. In this case, us. So either we get rid of these, or we got them, or they're going to be attached to us for life. Do you want microscopic mites having sex on your face for eternity?
No, I don't. I don't want to do it one time, and I want all the mites to be eradicated.
Yeah. No. I'm with you.
I'm an anti-mite guy.
I didn't even know this was happening, you know? I'd like to know if there's sex being had on my face. You know?
In other news, Deshaun Watson is going to face suspension.
Speaking of Deshaun Watson, I mentioned it to Adam Schefter, but you saw, did you see all the responses from the Browns page?
Yes.
The Cleveland Browns. Cleveland Browns asked fans to draw a picture that they could show on fan day. And the responses, I thought Bill's was the best.
Yeah.
It was a stick figure to Sean with
holding up a towel on a massage table.
A towel. But the towel, the unfortunate part about it was the towel was way too big.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not lifelike. We know Deshaun had a small hand towel.
He's got that little quarterback towel. He's got the little quarterback towel that he uses, and he puts it over his privates and then says, oh, I'm hot. So, Lance, where's the best place to commit a crime right now?
Florida?
No, Chicago.
Oh.
Apparently, they decide. Chicago police, yesterday was announced, Chicago police are no longer allowed to chase people on foot just because they're running away. So, if you're a criminal, you commit a crime.
Just run.
And you're on foot. Chicago police are no longer allowed to chase you.
In San Francisco, they had somebody. Chicago must have overtaken San Francisco. They had one guy who had stolen 13 cars. He had been involved over the last year and a half in 13 car thefts. And that's one of the reasons their DA got recalled, is because people are saying, okay, guys, this has gone too far. If you continue to steal cars and get out to steal other cars and there's no penalties, we may need to do something about this.
Yeah, it's a crime. You're not supposed to do that. We have to be able... if a cop sees a guy running out of a store stealing stuff, he can't chase him in Chicago. Everyone, go to Chicago and steal everything.
You just have to hope that he walks.
Well, no, you still can't follow him. You can't chase him, even walking.
No, yes, you can. He can if he runs.
If he runs away, you're right.
Yeah.
Wait. So make sure you got your gym shoes on so you can run, because they can't follow.
Oh, yeah, if you're stealing,
Yeah.
Oh, you're talking to the thieves.
The thieves.
Yeah, it's our show. You're talking to the thieves.
Of course I'm talking to the thieves. I ain't talking to the cops. Well, there's a problem in New Jersey. Apparently, 2 months after New Jersey legalized recreational marijuana, the county sheriff there is concerned all his deputies are high. Do you think that it's okay if you're a deputy to get high? It's legal, so should you be high?
No, because it's also legal to have drinks. You also can't be driving around drunk.
Well, it's legal to drink, but it's not legal to drink and drive. It is legal, however, to be stoned. Well, yeah, I guess if you're driving around in your squad car, you're not supposed to be
stoned. Probably not legal to be stoned on the job. My guess is there's going to be a rule against it.
Yeah, probably. Probably. A woman has slammed her boyfriend for wearing socks on the beach. Should men wear socks on the beach?
No, and yesterday on the Wheelhouse, they had an argument because I can't remember who this was about, but one of them found out that the other two would put a shoe and a sock on their foot first. Instead of going sock, sock, shoe, shoe, they completely went sock, shoe, one foot, sock, shoe, the other foot.
Well, that is there was an old sitcom that did that. And they said, okay, suppose there's a fire. If I put my sock and my shoe on, I can hop around and not get wet from all the water. Well, but if I put my sock and sock on, then both feet will be wet.
Yeah, that's true, but I still go sock, sock, shoe, shoe.
I go sock, sock, shoe, shoe.
Yeah, I mean, that's just...
I mean, I think that's just normal.
Does.
I think you're abnormal if you do sock, shoe.
Yeah, that's not... That's
no,
not
that's
right.
Not.
Now, as far as a girlfriend, no, you shouldn't wear socks on the beach. I mean, it's one thing if you wear shoes. Like, I hate flip-flops. I don't like the way it feels between my toes. I won't wear them. So I'll wear either the Sanuks or I'll wear tennis shoes with, like, a sock under it because I don't want to get sand. But then you take them off. You take both of them off like regular humans do. Not wear socks like around at the beach. And I get maybe some people don't like the feel of sand. It's on their feet, but that's, you probably shouldn't be at the beach.
I could see you. I would have thought you would be a pro sock guy on the beach.
No, wearing socks on a beach.
Well, you, because you always, and you wear your socks like halfway
up. Yeah, because
up.
I think that a man should never show, like, no one wants to see your ugly ass man feet. Nobody. Nobody on the planet.
You're on the
wants
beach.
To see your ugly ass feet. No, on the beach it's different. It's all rule. Yeah, but I don't wear socks on the beach.
I would have thought you'd be a socks on the beach guy. That's all
just
I'm saying.
Walk, run around.
Well,
with socks
there are a lot of people
time?
That are defending the guy for this. This woman's gone viral, and now she's crying, and I just can't handle it. A monkey.
She's crying why? Because she embarrassed her boyfriend. That's on you.
I don't. Because she's embarrassed by her boyfriend. And
oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. How about this? A spider monkey was caught in a cartel shootout, and he was wearing a bulletproof vest. Unfortunately, he died in the shootout, in a cartel shootout. Do you think monkeys should have bulletproof vests, or they should at least protect them in a cartel shootout?
I'm for both of those.
Yeah. If you're in a cartel shootout, isn't it going to be better if a spider monkey is there?
I think monkeys wearing bulletproof vests is fine. It gives them more edge. Because
yeah.
They already have some edge as it is.
Oh,
I
yeah.
wish Chim Chim would have had that. When the when he had to deal with the car acrobatic team just to be safe. But, yeah, I think it's good that monkeys have, yeah, of all the animals, I would think, no, not for dogs. That's not nice. But for a monkey to have a bulletproof vest, it just seems like that gives it a little more edge.
Well, and, yeah, I want him to have a better shot. Yeah.
Doesn't it always feel like when monkeys are around that something could jump off?
No, it feels like you're going to get your face bitten.
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to say, because all of us never forgot that one story about the lady who had a pet chimpanzee and it ripped her entire face off.
Yeah.
It ripped and ate her face off. And once you heard that story, you never come back from that story.
No, and when we were at Mattress Max and the monkeys were around, I was opposed to being near them. Monkeys at any time, and there's no liability there either. What are they going to do? The monkey rips your face off. What's going to happen to the monkey? Nothing.
I don't think that monkey. No, I think something bad probably happened to that monkey. If you really want to
know.
They
put him in a cage. He goes back in his cage.
What happens to dogs if they do that?
Oh, well, they put him down. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure dogs
don't. Dogs aren't supposed to be in cages like monkeys.
If the monkey was aggressive enough to rip a person's face off, I'm guessing it's not running around in anywhere in a cage or anywhere.
Well, I don't know. I'm just not sure.
Maybe don't have a pet monkey. That's also a pet chimpanzee.
I can't trust pet monkeys. I'm just telling you. I don't trust them. I think at any point.
But I came from an age where you had like that Tony Danza and I think his name was. Yeah, you had Clint Eastwood had the orangutans with him. And I can't remember the. I saw monkeys. I saw orangutans and monkeys growing up watching shows. So I thought, yeah, you know, I need to have one of those.
Yeah. By the way, our friend sent us. It was all in the family: sock and a shoe, shoe and a sock.
Oh.
And he said, "Yeah, that. I can. If there's a fire and we go outside, I can hop around, and I'll have my both feet dry."
Archie was white sock with black shoe guy too.
Yeah, he was. All right, we're done. Vanessa and Gallant next, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Y'all have a great time. I want to talk before I leave about the Morley Law Firm. MorleyLaw.com. MorleyLaw.com. I don't know what your issue is. You have an issue. Or if somebody is attacking you. Somebody is charging you. Somebody is suing you. Somebody is accusing you. Whatever the case may be, then you have an issue. And if you have an issue, the Morley Law Firm is here for you. They will help you. They will listen to your case. And in a lot of instances, absolutely free. And in a lot of instances, you don't have to pay unless there is some recovery. Okay. Now, if you're accused of something, that's a different story. But if you are suing someone, let's say a doctor, let's say there's malpractice, let's say you were in an accident, in a lot of instances, those cases, you don't have to pay anything until you get your money from the suit. So they're awesome. Listen, they've got so much experience. They're so good. You don't have a lawyer on retainer. You've got these guys. And if you've got an immigration problem, say habla español, they're helping all kinds of people every single day in the city of Houston. Find out for yourself. So, hey, make the call. Morley Law, 713-839-9955, 713-839-9955, or Morley, MorleyLaw.com.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.